Let us pray. Our Father, the great Almighty God, we rejoice that we can be gathered together in this way, in your very presence, and even at such time as this, even during this period of pandemic, you have continued to undertake for us and also feasible for us to be gathered together to worship you. We know that we cannot take this for granted. Many of your children in different parts of the world are not able to gather in this manner. We pray that you will also be close to them and help them in the respective contexts how to draw near to you and to worship you. We pray that you be pleased to bless us with your presence. That the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us, grant us insight into the truth, how you desire church life to function, and also the truth from the scriptures will renew our minds, deepen our convictions, how to work out together in the manner you desire of us. We commit this time to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we are considering features, emphases in healthy church life. The subtopic for today, emphasis on God and truth, together with other important related areas, the fifth message. We noted there are two features which must be present in healthy church life, and they can be regarded as two related foundational bases or pillars for healthy church life. The first, most important, from which actually all the rest flows forth. All aspects and expressions of church life must promote knowledge of God and our relationship with Him, that is primary. But beyond knowledge of God, relationship with Him, we must also know how we ought to respond to Him, and not just according to our own thinking, but as revealed in the scriptures. The second pillar, promote accurate, wholesome knowledge of and positive response to the truth. If these two aspects are going on well in church life, there's a lot of potential because we have a great God. So when these two foundational areas of God and truth are present and they go together with other important features which I'm considering together with you, they all reinforce one another. And church life can become very powerful in its manifestation of the power, wisdom, and glory of God. And the congregation can then effectively fulfill its part in the expression or in the fulfillment of God's purposes in the way God desires of the congregation. What I'm considering with you during this period is actually what we have sought to work out and work towards in church life over the years. To some degree, we have experienced God at work in our midst in all these different areas, but we still have a long way to go. What I hope to transmit in these messages, we can term it as the vision of the church as revealed in the scriptures. Not just how we think church life should function, but we seek to understand how God wants church life to function. So we first appreciate the centrality of the role of the church, then how church life ought to function, and how God wants his children to work out together in the expression of church life. And if we can have spiritual insight and conviction on this core area, we'll be able to work at it together with one heart. And we can then respond well to God's call and his intentions for each one of us and also together as a body of Christ, his intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So apart from the two foundational pillars, I've also listed to you by now 14 important areas and features of healthy church life. And today I want to continue with two more vital features of healthy church life. So I'll begin with the 15th. Today I'll begin the 15th area or feature. the Spirit-filled life, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can see this feature is vitally relevant for all the features of healthy church life. And the Lord Jesus highlighted to the disciples the importance of being baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can be effective witnesses to the truth. And this is a key issue for believers during our time on earth, to be effective witnesses to the truth. We return to Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 49. We look at the instructions of the risen Christ to the disciples. He had risen from the dead, and before he ascended, he told the disciples, "It is written that the Christ will suffer and rise again," verse 46, verse 47, "that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." So the proclamation of the truth of the risen Christ and what was accomplished at the cross to be proclaimed to all the nations. And the Lord Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Lord Jesus told the disciples, very important to be witnesses, his witnesses. But, he says, don't just straight away go about trying to be his witnesses. You must wait until you are clothed with power from on high. That is, this is crucial if you want to be effective witnesses. And what is this clothed with power from on high? In Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus continued with this theme and he makes it very clear. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, similar to what we saw just now in Luke chapter 24, but to wait for what the Father had promised, similar again, the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard of from me." So he had told them, you need to wait. Verse 5. "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Baptize the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, similar. We'll see afterwards in Acts 2. This is the baptism with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. He says, "You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." So the two are closely related. You want to be effective witnesses? Don't just go about it. You cannot do it according to your own cleverness, your own strength. That is in the flesh. It must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, to the remotest part of the earth. So the gospel, the good news of what God intends for us in Christ is meant to be effectively proclaimed throughout the world. But the Lord Jesus is witnesses. So it's not just words coming forth from the mouth of disciples, but their own appreciation of the truth. Their time with the Lord Jesus and subsequently the New Testament, further revelation. And for us today, for us to be effective witnesses to the truth, we need to know the truth for ourselves. But just trying to understand the truth for ourselves is not sufficient. The Lord Jesus says, you must be baptized with the Spirit. And he told the disciples, wait, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And we see in Acts chapter 2, records for us, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the disciples would gather together, they were baptized and filled with the Spirit. So, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, baptized, filled with the Spirit was what the Lord Jesus was referring to. And then the rest of the book of Acts, you'll find it records for us, believers, those who were effective were those who were serving the Lord, empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. It began with the very powerful sermon by the Apostle Peter. We saw Peter, a very different Peter, after the day of Pentecost, when he was filled with the Spirit. Of course, some may go to the other extreme and think that all that matters is be filled with the Spirit, and then that's it. And that was all that explained how come Peter could serve the Lord so powerfully. Well, that is not the total truth. Being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, very important, yes. But all that the Lord, all that Peter had learned from the Lord Jesus, all those are very important. Being filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, extremely important for effective communication to the truth. And also understanding God's guidance, the will of God in actual daily living and how to go about serving Him. So we see immediately in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the powerful message after being filled with the Spirit, and thousands turned to the Lord. You can see this in Acts chapter 2. We should all be very familiar with this. And immediately in that context, we see manifestations of the expression of healthy church life in this key verse of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which recently we've been referring to this key verse. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread and to prayer. These are four very key areas. How come they were doing these things? Because they were baptized with the Spirit. They responded to the gospel. They were baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And God wants us to understand not only the importance of being filled with the Spirit, but where it leads to. This was expression of healthy church life, devoting themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. The New Testament records for us various other features which we've been looking at. Then if you read through from Acts chapter 2 onwards, you'll see many chapters in the book of Acts record for us the effective ministry of the Apostle Paul and his co-workers, and how the Lord and the Spirit of God guided and empowered them. The Apostle Paul himself wrote much on this subject, directly, indirectly. He also wrote about walking according to the Spirit and so on. But I now want to refer you to a key passage on this subject in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. I won't read every word, but I want to draw out some things, and I need to move fast because it is a big subject, and I hope to communicate in ways that some of the key issues can come through to us, that these are the clear teachings of the scriptures that we must pay heed to. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20, this is the portion on practical outworking in church life that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He says, be careful how you walk. Therefore be careful, following from the preceding chapters. I'll make a brief reference to that afterwards. But note a few important things here. He says, be careful how you walk. Verse 16, making the most of your time. Verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you look at these words in these three verses, you'll know that these are very important. All of us will know the importance of being careful how you walk, making the most of our time, understanding what the will of the Lord is. But it's immediately in this context that the Apostle Paul wrote, be filled with the Spirit. These are very important words, but notice the context. Where does it appear? And then immediately after that, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things. When you're filled with the Spirit, this follows. But in order to fulfill verses 15, 16, 17, including understanding the will of the Lord, making the most of our time, which we what we should aim for. Critical. Be filled with the Spirit. I want to comment a little more. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. The meaning here in the tense from what I can understand, in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit is not only once, be filled one time. It's be filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit, continually filled. But you need to have experience this, which in the messages I preached on this subject, I did mention, the first time you are filled with the Spirit, from what I can see in the scriptures, is baptized with the Spirit. Second time, it doesn't say baptized with the Spirit, but filled with the Spirit, you can be filled again and again. And we need to. And although being filled with the Spirit is very important, experience the fullness of the Spirit is very important, we need to note it's possible. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And having experienced the fullness of the Spirit, we may subsequently no longer continue to experience the fullness of the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit of God. The other is to take note that Paul is exhorting all believers. Be filled with the Spirit is addressed to all believers so that all believers can respond well to God's call. It's not just meant for some special Christians or some with special calling from God. No. It's meant for all believers, and also in the context of Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, the whole congregation, the whole church in Ephesus, all are to be filled with the Spirit. Under the new covenant, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, recorded in Acts 2, it is now feasible and God's will for all believers to be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. After Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, now, every believer can and ought to be filled. The Spirit has been poured forth, but it doesn't mean that every believer is filled. That is why Paul wrote, be filled. If all of them are filled, he doesn't have to write that. And we also know, it's quite clear. Not every believer is filled, but all need to be filled. Very important. So, if you look at the epistle of Ephesians, which is a very key epistle in the fulfillment of God's purposes and healthy church life, how God wants church life to function, the goals and so on, you notice that Paul's exhortation to believers in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is in the midst of what he wrote in Ephesians chapters 4 to 6. And Ephesians chapter 4 to 6 is on practical outworking in the context of response to God's call, in the light of God's revelation of the mystery, which Paul wrote in Ephesians chapters 1 to 3. So 1 to 3, Paul helps us to understand the revelation of God's mystery, hidden in times past, but under the new covenant, with the coming of Christ, death, resurrection of Christ. Now, the mystery has been revealed, which has to do with the fulfillment of God's purposes. And then chapters 4 to 6 is the practical outworking. In the midst of practical outworking, it is critical. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And that's why I also referred to you just now, the immediate context, the preceding verses. He says, be careful how you walk, making the most of your time, understanding where your will of God is, and then he says, be filled. Be filled will enable you to walk well with the Lord, make the most of your time, understand what the will of God is. And also what follows, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and so on. And in the bigger context, we can say that all three chapters, 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians, to work out well, be filled with the Spirit is critical. We can say the Spirit-filled life, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, which is the 15th point, that it is vital for all the key issues of the Christian faith. For example, at the top of it, our relationship with God, our walk with God. You want to walk well with God, you want a deep relationship with God, experience of the fullness of the Spirit is vital. Otherwise, you will not have a rich experience. Neither can you grow well in true knowledge of God. Here I'm talking about spiritual reality. Not just reading and having some concepts in the mind, or even if you can write a thesis, you can write a whole book on the attributes of God. And many people may say, what a wonderful book it is. It's still of no use. I've mentioned to you earlier that what God is looking for, and in the kingdom of God, what counts is spiritual reality. And spiritual reality, for it to come about, it is essential. The role and ministry of the Holy Spirit, but first of all, grounded in the accomplished work of Christ on the cross, and also our being joined to the risen Christ. So our relationship with God, our walk with God, our knowledge of God, the role of the Holy Spirit, critical. The other is understanding the scriptures. Notice these are important points, features of church life I've mentioned. To understand the scriptures, interpret, apply. How do you fare well in this area? The role of the Holy Spirit, critical. And if you experience the fullness of the Spirit, sometimes you may wonder, how do I know whether I'm filled with the Spirit? One of the characteristics of the fullness of Spirit is what I'm narrating here. All these areas becomes different. Your ability to appreciate the scriptures come alive to you, different from without the experience of the fullness of the Spirit. Likewise, knowing, absorbing, and living out the truth. I've emphasized again and again, it's not just some mental concepts. Spiritual insight into the truth, and also the enabling of the Spirit to live it out. Know, absorb, live out the truth. From one angle looking at it, you can say that if you succeed in that, that's it. You'll live an effective Christian life. All the various areas I said are all interrelated, and it's good to appreciate all the different features. And also to know whether other areas that we have neglected. Likewise, the very key area of outworking of church life. If you really want to gain insight, true appreciation of the centrality of the role of the church and how God wants church life to function, true conviction and spiritual insight, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you'll be very different. Likewise, outworking. You really want to work out well in church life. Essential. I want to emphasize this is not optional. If I can experience the fullness of the Spirit, good. Something extra. No. Paul says, be filled, every believer. It is very important. But just a brief comment. This is a subject that's very important to have a wholesome understanding. I cannot elaborate much now, but I want to draw attention on this point. Many major areas of truth that God wants us to know are often either neglected or there's a lot of confusion. The role and ministry of the Holy Spirit, including being baptized and filled with the Spirit, guided and empowered by the Spirit, is a very important subject. But in the universal church, there are a lot of problems on this area, and it is widely recognized as a very controversial area. But it's very important. Set your heart to have a wholesome understanding of this subject if you want to fare well. And church life, I'll emphasize this again afterwards, very important, this helping believers to have a good understanding of this subject. So you want to work out well in church life, crucial. Likewise, you've been talking about effective prayer. You cannot pray effectively if you have not experienced the fullness of the Spirit. Not only the Spirit guides us, but also enables, and praying with power that will make a difference in the spiritual realm. Same thing, service. We've seen just now the Lord Jesus told them, wait, empowered, then be his effective witnesses. All true service to be effective must flow forth from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit, guided, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is crucial. Not that you cannot serve God at all, because all of us have the Holy Spirit. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, all these areas I'm talking about, which I've listed and I'll continue to list, important features in church life, your experience of the reality of it will be very different. Not just a little bit, very different. Because the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit is crucial. Actually, all that God wants us to work out, He first of all has to show us. And He shows us through the Holy Spirit. Then He needs to enable us to work it out. And again, it's through the Holy Spirit. We cannot know the truth, spiritual insight, without the role of the Holy Spirit. on our own. Likewise, service. And when you're filled with the Spirit, it makes a lot of difference. But just a brief comment, it doesn't mean you've experienced the fullness of Spirit, that's all. When you experience the fullness of Spirit and various areas you pay attention to, I'll come to afterwards a little bit about this, that need to work at it. You need to continue to experience the Spirit in fuller measure. Just our experience of God, the depth of our relationship with God. And as I said, you can also grieve the Spirit. So it's not just whether you're filled with the Spirit. That is crucial as a starting point. But you need to go on from there. Likewise, be a healthy Christian, but go on to maturity, which is the next point. Subsequently, I'll come to that. But now I want to go on to highlight, so you can see very clearly, the importance of being filled with the Spirit. So service, likewise, earlier we talked about the ministry of life, very important. But where does the ministry of life come from? It's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, the words I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to minister in life. Ministry of life. Being filled with the Spirit is crucial. Likewise, spiritual warfare. Very important if you want to fare well. Spiritual warfare is an integral part, not only for the individual, for the church life, but how can you fight well unless the Spirit guides you, empowers you, enables you? Another very important area is fellowship amongst the brethren. Yes, it's true. Once you're a Christian, actually it's possible to have fellowship amongst the brethren. But if you want to have deep fellowship, that is not possible without experiencing the fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of the Spirit helps you to enter into the spiritual realm, into a different dimension. And deep fellowship amongst the brethren is feasible only when you are filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. Likewise, a very major area, which is the next point, subsequently, point 16 I will be coming to, growth in moral and spiritual stature. Very critical. How can you grow well? Unless the Spirit of God teaches you, guides you, helps you. And if you feel the Spirit, all this will be facilitated. You go on to a different dimension. And this also involves renewal of the mind, transformation of the inner man. All this comes about as the Spirit of God works in the heart of the believer. We have talked about faithfulness to God, very critical. Faithfulness to God and how to be faithful to God. But how do you know how to be faithful to God? The Holy Spirit will help us understand the truth and also how He guides us, how to be faithful and enable us. Otherwise, it's not possible to be faithful to God in any high degree. So if you want to be truly effective in all these areas, critical. Likewise, the freedom of God to work in and through our lives. There's another way to summarize effective Christian living. For God to have the freedom to work in and through our lives, the reality of being filled with the Spirit, guided, empowered by the Spirit, God will have much freedom to speak to us, and also we're in a position to receive, to understand. Because the things of God, that what He wants to teach us, and how He wants to work through us, cannot be properly appreciated by the flesh, by the natural man. You can also summarize it as living the overcoming life. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can set us free from the law of sin and death. You want to live the overcoming life, guided, empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, critical. So having understood, seen what has just been mentioned, we'll see that healthy church life, you can see very clearly, a healthy church life must encourage and help believers to live the Spirit-filled life, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It follows. This is very important. So if church life does not really help you help believers, encourage and help believers to live the Spirit-filled life, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, then a very, very critical feature is missing. In fact, many of the all the major features I've mentioned to you, look at them carefully. Any of them neglected, there'll be serious implications. And they affect one another. And bear in mind, Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, not just addressing individuals, it's for the church. Be filled with the Spirit. The whole congregation, the whole of church life in Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit. And there is there's one aspect of the Spirit guiding the individual. But there's the other aspect of guiding the whole congregation. That is, a congregation of believers living in this way, each one filled, guided, empowered, and the whole congregation living in this way, complemented by the other features of healthy church life. Not difficult to see why this is so critical and why this will move in the direction of the manifestation of God's glory, power, and the wisdom of God. And that this is the way to fulfill the part that God desires of that congregation in the working of His purposes. So to help believers live in this way, I have preached two messages on the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit, followed by six messages on the Spirit-filled life, where I've gone into more detail, various aspects, which including how to be filled with the Spirit, and also what hinders us from being filled with the Spirit, and importance of not of maintaining as well as increasing experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives. AR 179-186. In the past, some, including from the younger ones, have mentioned they can be helpful if there can be some guidance as to past messages, how they fit in and can help them as they listen. So I bear that in mind. And even for those who have been with us for a longer period of time, many of these things you may have heard, you may have either forgotten or it may not have struck you in the way it ought to. That if you now listen again, it may come through to you differently. So all these eight messages have been edited and also posted on the website, on my website, and already ready to be compiled into a book, the Lord willing, entitled The Spirit-Filled Life. A wholesome understanding of this subject is very important for each one of us and together as a congregation. I now want to go on to the next point, point 16. And again, I want to emphasize they're all interrelated. The 16th point is a feature of healthy church life. Healthy church life provides a conducive context and priority for every member of the body to grow well in moral and spiritual stature and being conformed to the image of Christ. Just a brief highlighting of some of the words there, and then I'll carry on. As I said, all these are big subjects, and I have to cover quite quickly and briefly, highlighting it in a way, hopefully, something can get through that can make a difference to how you approach your life and our working out together. So I say healthy church life provides, if it's healthy church, it will provide conducive context and priority. We need to give priority to this area, priority for every member, not just some, but every member is priority to grow well in moral and spiritual stature and being conformed to the image of Christ. These two are very closely related. Moral, spiritual stature and being conformed to the image of Christ. So conducive context to grow well is for every member, and priority needs to be given to this. And it's not just words, oh, we must give priority, but the whole way we work out in church life. Same thing for all the various features I've listed. And if you reflect on it, the two foundational pillars and all the other important features of healthy church life, they are all vital for providing a conducive context for such growth. You can go through the list subsequently. The Lord willing, I may go through the list of all these features just make a note. They are all vitally relevant, important for conducive context for such growth. If we look at the important passage on how God wants us to work out in church life, we look at Ephesians chapter 4. This has been brought to attention from time to time. So I just want to quickly highlight a few things here. This is an important passage on this subject. And as I said, I want it to come through clearly to you. That it's not just trying to put forward to you some suggestions of what would be meaningful, important features, but scriptural revelation. What scriptures highlights as important features of healthy church life. So Ephesians chapter 4 is a very important passage on healthy church life. And in this passage, verses 11 to 15, what did Paul write? He wrote, "He, that is the Lord, gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He gave all these people for what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." So the saints are meant to be equipped, and every saint, equipping of the saints, not just some special, all who are born again, children of God, all who belong to the church, the body of Christ. And they equip them for the work of service. You need to be equipped for service and for the building up the body of Christ. In times past, I've elaborated on this. The building of the body of Christ includes both quality of the lives of the bearer and also quantity, more and more being added to the body. And this includes, the principle here applies to the local context and also in the wider context of the universal church. If the universal church should grow in size as well as quality, then the equipping of the saints, very critical. But Paul didn't stop there and say, very important, equip the saints. He tells us the goal, the direction, verse 13, until we all attain. That is the goal. Until we all attain, and here he lists a few very critical things. One aspect, the unity of the faith, I will not elaborate that now. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, also very critical. I also will not elaborate now. But this, all these are related to what I want to highlight. To a mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Spiritual maturity in Christ. That's the direction. Spiritual maturity in Christ. But the goal. What is the goal? The goal is perfection. The measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's the goal we have to keep on working towards. And we must never say, I've arrived. That kind of maturity in Christ, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We are very far short of it. But that's God's intention. And Christ is meant to be the firstborn amongst many brethren. So when we have learned some things, do not too quickly think, oh, I know a lot already. There's a lot more. You've grown to some degree, thank God. But to know there's a lot more is to move in the direction of a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And the next verse 14 tells us, then we will not be easily tossed to and fro. That is, you become stable. There will be a strong foundation in our walk with God. You have to serve God in the midst of spiritual warfare. And in the midst of false doctrines and so on, you will not easily waver. There will be a strong foundation, and this is very important. Verse 15 continues, but speaking, that means rather than toss here and there, but you continue on speaking the truth, or you can translate it as being truthful in love. That is actually a more helpful way and more accurate. It's not just speaking. It's actually being truthful. Your life immersed in the truth, and you express yourself in truth. Being truthful in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So Christ is the head of the body. But what I want to highlight here in this verse is, it works out being truthful in love. You may say you're mature, you're this, you're that, but not being truthful in love is contrary. So you must know the truth. You must also be filled with love. Another feature subsequently I will highlight. But Paul also says we are to grow up in all aspects. And this is a very important area on this subject. Moral, spiritual stature, there are many aspects. And I covered this on this subject when I preached on this subject. So some of us, we made some progress in some areas. And we may think, oh, I've grown a lot. But are there various other areas that are very important that we've neglected? In the past, I've given an example. You go to a group, they're all praying. And then it stands out, oh, A, B. Oh, they're very spiritual because the way they pray. And it can be, they pray quite meaningfully. But some others may have difficulty in praying. So you think not so spiritual. The same group, meaning in our context, studying the Bible, you may find quite different. E and F. Me. Have better insight than A and B. And then you see these brethren in other contexts, the way they go about, the way they conduct themselves, their kindness, their patience, the way they counsel people. And then you'll find that it's X, Y, Z, stands out. Is it possible? Yes. And all can be real because they may not have developed equally well. Of course, there's also the issue of spiritual gift. But beyond spiritual gift, some of us, we neglect certain areas, and that is not good. We are meant to grow up in all aspects. And they will all contribute, not only to our total growth, but also how God looks at us, what He can entrust to us, and also how well we can serve Him. So it is important that we recognize it is God's desire for all believers to grow in moral, spiritual stature. Not just for some. And this is very important. We need to give priority. And also to become increasingly mature and conform to the image of Christ. I say increasingly mature. With passing time, you don't just keep on being at the same level. You must keep on growing. And you never attain to the fullness. The measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You keep on growing while on earth. So never become complacent. And it's the Lord's will that we continue to grow. And that's why He grants us many opportunities to learn, to grow, and the situations we go through. We can say this is one of the primary goals and intentions of God for men. And He has made provisions for us. All this I've made clear in the messages I preach on this subject. But not only that, God also made all kinds of provisions for us on this area, and the key provisions for us to grow well include, first of all, the death and resurrection of Christ. Without that, it's not possible. We can't even be reconciled back to God. And together, death and resurrection of Christ, a very important reality is joined to the risen Christ. And there is tremendous implications. We are actually joined to the risen Christ. We can be identified with Him in His death and resurrection. And there are far-reaching spiritual implications, which I cannot elaborate here. The other very important provision of God is the Scriptures. Another very important area, of course, the Scriptures help us to know God, to know the truth, and help us to grow, how to grow well. Another major provision of God is the outpouring and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can say this is our great privilege under the New Covenant. Not the same under the Old Covenant. I've also preached on this subject. The difference between Old Covenant, New Covenant. Old Testament times and for us today. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost under the New Covenant. Because Christ has come, death, resurrection of Christ has taken place. The Holy Spirit poured forth. And just now I've mentioned, being filled with the Spirit, you can also be guided and empowered by the Spirit. But another aspect that is directly relevant to this issue of growth, because growth and major aspects to do with transformation of our inner man and our character development, character transformation. And bear in mind, this is one aspect we need to take note, the role of the Holy Spirit. Many of us are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is something that we can experience in any situation. So for even very difficult, we can experience the joy, the peace, the love that comes from the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. But it's very important to distinguish between two kinds. One is the experience of the Holy Spirit granting us peace and joy. But the other, which is even more important, is to understand how the Holy Spirit is seeking to bring about the transformation in our inner man so that more and more our character will manifest the fruit of the Spirit and the quality of the fruit of the Spirit as a quality of the inner man. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So more and more, this becomes the qualities of the inner man. Not automatically, but it is God's desire to bring this about. But we need to do our part and cooperate with what God seeks to bring about. So as I mentioned, I only highlight a number of these things, but I cannot elaborate in detail here. They are elaborated in messages preached on this subject. So, brethren growing well in moral and spiritual stature and being conformed to the image of Christ is essential for responding well to God's call. It's not an optional thing. You want to fare well in God's kingdom, then growing well in moral spiritual stature is essential. That's why we need to pay attention, and it has far-reaching implications for every aspect of our lives and working out in church life. So, healthy church life must provide a conducive context for every member of the body to grow well in this way. That's obvious, isn't it? Once you've seen all this, it flows. We cannot afford to neglect paying attention and giving this priority. Only then can the brethren be properly equipped for service. They must grow well, then they are properly equipped, then they can serve well, and then they can contribute their part to the building up of the body of Christ, fulfill the part individually, together as a congregation, in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So in the approach to healthy church life, the emphasis must always be on nurturing the qualities of the inner man, the hidden person of the heart, from which can then flow forth meaningful expressions and service that's pleasing to God. How does effective service come about? Effective prayer and so on. They must flow forth from the heart of the believers. So what has taken place in the inner man, the growth of the inner man, is critical. That is the basis on which all the meaningful things can then flow forth. We must understand that church life and the lives of the brethren will not work out well if there is overemphasis on service and various outward expressions without sufficient emphasis on nurturing the qualities of the inner man and the positive meaning in the heart. That doesn't mean service is not important. Very important. And various outward expressions, they have their place and can be very important. But we need to be careful. If you overemphasize service, overemphasize this, that, do this, do that, and outwardly people do many things, and many things appear to be going on well, it is a fatal flaw if there isn't sufficient emphasis on nurturing the qualities of the inner man. It will not be real. What I covered in an earlier point is our emphasis on outward appearance of things or spiritual reality. God is looking for spiritual reality. The kingdom of God advances its spiritual reality in the spiritual realm. Having said all this, we still need to take note. A conducive context for every member of the body to grow well does not mean all will grow well. You may be in a context where there's a conducive context, but you may not grow well. You need to understand that every believer who wants to grow well must respond well. Every individual. If you don't respond well, you will not grow well, no matter what kind of context is provided. You need to do your part as God desires of you. This is essential. So you may say, how? What are some of the important things to bear in mind? Again, I will only highlight. Very critical, you must pay attention to your attitude and the moral meaning in your heart and how you respond to God's provisions and the opportunities God has given you to learn and to grow and to be transformed. If there's a conducive context and you pay attention to these things, you will fare well. Not hopefully. You can ensure you'll fare well. Pay attention to your attitude. Any negative kind of attitude that creeps in will hinder. Likewise, this is related to the moral meaning in your heart. When the moral meaning in your heart is positive, as you go through a situation that's positive moral meaning, you will grow. The growth comes about through the moral input, the moral positive meaning input from our hearts. That is why even the very expression of worship, when we gather together in this way, when your heart is genuine worship, you will be growing. You spend time in prayer, whatever, there is positive meaning coming forth from your heart. You will grow stronger. You will grow in your spiritual stature. But all this goes together with various other aspects I've mentioned, your knowledge of the truth, of the scriptures, church life functioning well, and so on. And God gives us many opportunities in church life as well as in your daily life. Are you learning what God wants you to learn? And it's a very sad thing. Many believers miss out so many things that God wants to teach us. And that is why we fail to grow as well as we could have. Some concluding remarks. Especially on this subject of moral spiritual stature. Moral and spiritual stature actually indicates the quality of the person. We need to understand that this is what God is concerned about and what God looks for in a person. He's not looking for, oh, you do this, you do that, and all kinds of things. No. He looks at your heart. He looks at the qualities of the inner man. This is what he's concerned about. This is what he looks for. This is also what we should be concerned about for ourselves and for the brethren, if we love the brethren. This is the primary thing we must be concerned about. Yes, other things has its place, but this is primary. The moral spiritual stature, which determines the quality of the person, it also has direct bearing, not just has a bearing. It has direct bearing on the quality and meaning of our fellowship and relationship with God. When you grow in stature, you can deepen in your knowledge relationship with God. If your stature is poor, superficial, immature, how can God have deep fellowship with you? Likewise, fellowship amongst the brethren. As the brethren grow, the depth of their fellowship, likewise, the knowledge of the truth and so on, all these are relevant to moral spiritual stature. Then you can have deep fellowship in the Lord, in the truth. There'll be quality amongst the brethren and quality of fellowship. Likewise, it has direct bearing on effective prayer. It will help you to know how to pray, what to pray, but not only that, when there's maturity, when you pray, the power of the prayer that goes forth will be different. 10 people may be praying exactly the same words, but the meaning, the impact in the spiritual realm can be very different. Similarly, service. Service important? Yes. Remember, the saints are to be equipped for service, and God wants us to serve Him. But effectiveness of service, it flows forth directly from the quality and meaning in your heart. And also bear in mind, you cannot say, oh, I have a lot of qualities inside, but no service. It cannot be. No prayer that's meaningful. When there's moral, spiritual quality in our lives, the relationship with God will be there, the meaning will be there, and it will flow forth in various expressions. But yes, we still have to pay attention to the various areas. But if you don't pay attention, your moral, spiritual stature will deteriorate. Instead of growing, you will degenerate. So it's not a static thing. And it's not keep on growing. So one way to summarize the thing in terms of response to God's call, very important, is the participation in your working of God's purposes. In a direct bearing, how effectively you can participate. Another related to it is a point that I want to emphasize. Moral spiritual stature is of eternal value. Many of the things we see in the world, they are not of eternal value. But moral spiritual stature is of eternal value, and it has direct bearing on the meaning of our time in eternity. Just a brief comment for more detail, to listen to the messages concentrate on this subject. Many believers are very vague about this subject and do not pay adequate attention to moral spiritual stature because somehow they are influenced by this notion that when we meet the Lord, you see Christ, you become like Him, and that means your moral spiritual stature will be like Christ. And this is a teaching that has affected many Christians. Knowingly, unknowingly, it pervades. So some people think, once I pass away from this earth, then that's it. I will attain, to that reality. And if that is the case, it takes away a lot of the meaning of what God allows us to go through, the difficulties, the trials, and our response, and our growth. And also the importance of the growth. Likewise, how you spend eternity, how well you've grown will have a significant bearing on how we can participate in eternity in the working of God's purposes, which doesn't end here on earth. So every man mature in Christ, bear in mind, is a key goal in the fulfillment of God's purposes, and this is what the Apostle Paul and his co-workers concentrated on in their ministry. You can see this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. In the context, the preceding verses, starting from verse 24, that Paul is talking about the fulfillment of God's call and how he wants to fully carry out the word of God, the mystery. And then he says, we proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that, what's the goal? So that we may present every man complete or mature in Christ. The same word translated mature here is complete, same word. Complete or mature in Christ. Then Paul says, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. That is empowered by the Spirit. Paul, guided, empowered by the Spirit, he labor, he strive, but not fleshly, according to the power of God. The Holy Spirit at work in and through his life. What is the goal? To present every man mature in Christ. And all of us should concentrate on this for our own lives, for every believer. I have, in this current series of messages on the fulfillment of God's purposes, actually preached 41 messages on this subject and related issues to moral spiritual stature. A lot of messages, yes. But it's meant to help believers to have a good understanding of this important subject and also how we can fare well in this area. Let's say it's very critical. P32 to 72. And they cover several important issues, including helping us to appreciate the supreme importance and value of moral spiritual stature. And this is a very important truth. Why is it so important? I went on to explain. Then how to make good progress in this area. This is important, yes, but how to make good progress? Then God's provisions for us in this area and how we can benefit more fully from God's provisions to make such progress. And then I also considered the implications of this subject. There are various important implications of moral spiritual stature, including that the very heart of God's creation of man is that he desires partnership, friendship, relationship with men. Moral spiritual stature, very important at the heart of it. Then being God's faithful representatives, ambassadors for Christ. That's our role on earth. How can we be faithful representatives? Likewise, Paul mentions about being trustworthy, faithful steward of the mystery. That's how he wants people to regard him. Faithful servant of the Lord, faithful, trustworthy steward of the mystery. And all of us, how to be trustworthy, faithful steward of the mystery. Then in various areas of life, some may say, a good friend to somebody, or to be a good spouse, or to be a good parent, to be a good child, or to be a good Christian in the workplace. How to be? I've considered all these different areas, and it flows forth from this issue of being trustworthy and faithful friend, spouse, parent, child in the workplace, and whatever role you may have in whatever context as a Christian. How this works out, and vitally linked to moral spiritual stature. And Christians do have various wrong ideas about this subject, including parents. How to be a good parent. Workplace. There are various wrong notions on how to be a faithful witness or faithful representative of the Lord. And finally, very important, how to be a trustworthy, faithful member of the body of Christ. I also covered this subject to some degree. And this is important for all of us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, the great and good God. We thank you for all that you've done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your kind intentions for each one of us in him. We thank you for the scriptures, and we thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that it is feasible now for every believer, for each one of us, to be filled, to be guided, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that we can have deep fellowship with you, insight into the scriptures, and understand what it means to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and the implications of our being joined to the risen Christ. We thank you for every provision for growth in moral and spiritual stature, and we thank you for the provision of church life. We pray that you will grant us spiritual insight, deep convictions on what you've revealed in the scriptures on all these major issues, so that we will be deeply convicted and respond and work and live out our lives in the way you desire of us. That we will not waver, we will not become confused, distracted, and concentrate on many things that appear to be good, but actually fail miserably in responding to how you desire of us. We commit each one of us and together as a congregation into your loving hands, and pray that you will have the freedom to continue to renew our minds, to speak to us and to help us to respond well to you. And even now, we thank you for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you help us to prepare our hearts so that we will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.